Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Tim Temple, the insurance commissioner for the state of Louisiana. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, happy Friday, Newell. I guess you're getting ready to start your Christmas shopping?
No, that's next. I'll start on Tuesday.
Hey, probably you and me both.
I need a little pressure to get things done. No, never do today what you can put off until tomorrow, right?
That's what some people say.
So, Tim, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. There are some updates. There's been some movement in the insurance industry. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, Newell, and we've been reporting this recently here over the last several months. You know, we are starting to see companies, you know, we started seeing it in the middle of the year, but we're seeing more companies take some rate decrease, giving some premium relief on the private passenger auto side. And the companies are careful to say that is not directly due to the reform that was passed this last legislative session, but they are encouraged by the fact that Louisiana is paying attention, and that gives them confidence in our marketplace. So that's good. That's what we want. We want more companies looking to do business here. We want more companies doing business here. And you know, those companies, when they compete, we benefit from that. So we're seeing that. We've seen a couple of companies take some rate decrease also in the homeowner space. Just recently we had, SureChoice, Elevate, I think it was about 90,000 policies that they did some rate decrease on. That's a statewide average of about 7.5%. It's about $20 million less in premium that people will have to pay as a result of that. But and then just most recently, we had another company, big company, State Farm. It was kind of a mixed bag there. They took a rate decrease on private passenger auto policies. About 1 million auto policies that they have saw an average of just under 6% rate decrease. That's almost $100 million less that people will be paying in auto premiums in the state for the upcoming year. But then they took some rate increase on homeowners, which shows that, there's still work to do. And their book is a little bit different from some of the regional players. But, you know, we're going to continue to work with companies. We're going to continue to work with the legislature to make Louisiana as an attractive and stable, predictable place to do business as we can.
So when you see these types of things happen, can you actually make heads or tails of what is driving that one decision relative to an increase in auto and then or decrease in auto and then the flip side, an increase in homeowners?
Yeah, well, look, you know, on the homeowner side, you know, companies, you know, the regional companies, you know, the smaller regional sized companies, they're heavily reliant on reinsurance. And we have seen reinsurance come down over this last year. You know, the United States was fortunate, first time in 10 years that we've not had a hurricane touch U.S. shores. So that helped, you know, losses be less than forecast. And the reinsurance market responded accordingly, as does the insurance market. When they pay less in claims than they forecast, then that allows them to charge less in premiums on the, you know, next year. Reinsurance costs factor into those, into that. We've seen that come down 10, 15, sometimes 20% over this last renewal period. So we're benefiting from that as consumers. Some companies, the big national companies, Allstate, the State Farms, Farmers, those kind of companies, they don't rely on reinsurance as much, if at all. So then the reinsurance market, if it's favorable to consumers, it's not a factor to them. They're looking on modeling. They have a lot of properties exposed in the state of Louisiana, so they're looking at their modeling. What does the model for next year forecast? Obviously, wages, labor cost, materials, that goes into it, and we've seen that start to plateau. But I think, there's conversations right now, and there always have been, about increasing wages just across the country. And when those things increase, when the cost of building material, lumber, that kind of stuff, it impacts companies as well. So it's complicated. I don't want to say that it's an easy solution, but, we do look into that and say, to see if some companies are taking rate decrease, why are others taking an increase? And so that is part of our job. We look and verify, the information that they submit to us.
So in the end, one of the drivers, as you just pointed out, could be inflationary influences that could be pushing on premium.
It certainly is. We've all seen the cost of rebuilding or repairing homes go up over the last several years. I know, during COVID, the price of lumber just skyrocketed. Labor increased, and we've seen that over the last several years. But like I said, that's starting to plateau. If you look at consumer price indexing and inflation, whatever the argument is on the, today on what the number is, but, that is still a positive number. So that does get factored into insurance companies, pricing when they're looking at, future cost. Like I said, it is a complex issue, but we can't control, most of those inflationary factors. We can't control the weather. We can't control the reinsurance costs. What we can control is the legal environment, the regulatory environment in the state of Louisiana to make it attractive. And that's always been my focus. And I think I've pretty much maintained that from day one. I'm going to focus on the things that we can control in the great state of Louisiana. And that is, again, working with the legislature, working with the governor to make our state a more attractive place to do business. We've seen other groups do that. LED's doing that, and they're attracting businesses in. We control the things that we can control, and that's always going to be my focus.
Tim, do you think that there's a possibility that if we begin to peel back the layers of, let's just say, the auto industry, for example, that we might find something very similar there that we're experiencing with the pharmaceutical industry, where we're paying these exorbitant amounts of money for prescription drugs, where if you cross into Mexico, cross into Canada, they're paying significantly less. I asked this question, you and I talked about it, but in a different context, and I just use my personal experience that, I was in an accident and I had to replace the two front headlights. Somebody clipped the front of my car. The headlights, I think, were $3,600 a piece, which means they're $7,200 of a $60,000 vehicle was tied up in the two headlights. And when you right. start to itemize that, there's no way that the two headlights could be that percentage cost of that vehicle that's produced. They just couldn't sell it for that price if that's the actual cost. So when we go to get these OEM parts, original equipment manufactured parts, I'm curious what kind of markup these folks are getting and whether or not we're actually underwriting a large portion of the auto industry profits with these OEM parts that they sell in us. It's just the math doesn't work for the two headlights to be $7,200 of a $60,000 automobile.
Yeah, and I know, and you've brought that up before, and I think you've got there's two points there. That one is you're right. How does $7,200 on a $60,000 vehicle, that just the sum, the sum of the parts would exceed the value of the car. And I agree with you, the $7,200, I don't know if that was just the parts. Does that include labor?
No, it was just the parts.
That's just the parts.
Just the parts.
And then throw in labor and everything else, and it's really more expensive. But, you know, the insurance industry obviously doesn't control what the cost of the parts. They just have to pay the bill once the car is repaired.
But I asked the question.
We need to look into that.
In the light of who should be looking into this, because, you know, because in many there's something else that's driving what's actually happening here is what I'm sensing in my gut. I can't put my finger on it. I may be all wet. I don't know.
But that's part of it.
I'm a numbers guy. And when I look at it, it's like, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, it just can't.
Well, when you said peeling back the layers of the onion, you know, we had those 14 legislative hearings, last year in 2024, ran into 2025. And they were looking at cost drivers, and that is one of the things. And if we're talking specific to Louisiana, you know, I would argue that $7,200 in headlights, if you got in a wreck in Mobile, or if you got in a wreck in Houston, Texas, it's still $7,200 for those lights. They're not picking Louisiana as a state to say we're going to charge more for parts. That's a nationwide issue. But that's not what's driving the cost for auto insurance in Louisiana. If you look at when you get your bill, your invoice from your insurance company, and they break out how much of it goes to pay physical damage. That would be a physical damage claim, the damage to your vehicle. If you look at that number versus the liability, and that's the portion that pays for the litigation that's involved, that number is much higher. And I think we've talked it on your show before. I mean, if we want premiums like we see our friends in Arkansas or Mississippi or Alabama or anywhere else, then we need to get our claims count down to the same, and the amount the insurance companies pay out in claims needs to be similar. It's not physical damage that drives it. It's not the number of accidents. Believe it or not, we don't, on the national level, we have just about the same number on a per capita basis of accidents in our state as the national average. It's when we get in an accident. You know, we filed 66,000 bodily injury claims in 2021 compared to Alabama, who filed 34,000. And they have 500,000 more drivers on the road. The insurance industry paid $1 billion in bodily injury claims in Louisiana that same year versus $500 million in Alabama. When insurance companies pay out more in claims, then they have to charge more in premiums. That's what we've got to get our hands on. And that's the conversations that have been had. You've seen legislation this past year that's trying to address those issues to disincentivize people from filing those, I'm going to call them excessive claims. You know, there's no reason that we should, with 500,000 less drivers on the road than Alabama and having the same number of accidents on a per, you know, capita ratio, we shouldn't be filing twice the number of bodily injury claims. Why is that? And that's what we've got to talk about. That's very unpopular with a few people in this state. Because there's a lot of money. There's $500 million that the insurance industry is paying out in our state to people. And some of it's claimants, some of it's vendors around that business. And, until we truly say we need to, we're willing to fix that, then we shouldn't expect a change.
Well, I wonder if there wouldn't be value in really doing a granular level, you know, of detail on all of this. So, for example, when you compare Louisiana to Alabama, we have more medically uninsured people in Louisiana than they do in Alabama. We also have a poorer socioeconomic group than they do in Alabama. There's a whole other number of factors that are there. When you're medically insured, your medical insurance is providing for the coverage of your injuries, and they have the right of subrogation to the claim, but they have all of this, provisions in place to make sure that the costs are down. It would also be interested to see how many more self-administered plans there are, who has more self-administered plans in either Louisiana or Alabama, because there is a marked difference in claims administration when you have self-administered plans. In fact, they're, for the most part, a lot, they didn't used to be, but they're becoming more restrictive than just a conventional plan for a whole host of reasons as companies begin to tighten their belt and, You get less benefits, less coverage that's out there. I think there's a whole lot of things that are generating certain things. And in fact, what you're beginning to see, and I mentioned this to you before, and I've been hearing more and more about it because I talk about it on the show a lot, is in self-administered plans, they have these automobile accident exclusions, or they put another deductible on that. So, for example, you get in an auto accident, it's not your fault, you have injuries, you have to come out of pocket in a plan that I'm familiar with, $5,000 before traditional medical insurance is going to kick in.
But that wouldn't that wouldn't be reflected on the insurance company books if we had that issue. And no, I think you've got some very valid points. We
no,
need
but
to
it
look
would
at that.
It would, Tim, because what it does is it compels people to go to court because they don't have that money. And what is happening on the claims administration side from the insurance company is, you know, they become aware of this. So the delay works and inures to their benefit because they know that a lot of people cannot afford to put that money out. So they end up creating more.
That's if you buy into that argument that that's their business model. But Newell, again, there's look at every other state. You know, using your premise there, the argument, and I'd like to see the facts, that Louisiana has twice the number of that scenario that you're talking about. We don't know that Alabama is truly that different. Mississippi, much poorer state than Louisiana, twice the number of uninsured motorists, people that do not have insurance, yet their insurance premiums on their auto are half of what they are in Louisiana. So I think that that's something to be discussed. I would love to see medical utilization. I would love for hospitals, medical providers, insurance, the health insurers, to show what their medical utilization is when someone comes in the hospital and says, or, you know, seeking medical treatment as a result of an auto accident. What is that number? You know, I mean, that's something we need to look at. But at the end of the day, we have the same number of accidents, we file twice the number of bodily injury, and we litigate three times the national ratio. I mean, that's just, those are stats.
Yeah, and look, I'm not saying that the difference is going to disappear, but what I'm saying is I think there is value in looking at all of the underlying causes, and there may be some that are more unique than what we're willing to admit on the front end, but we can't really say anything if we don't go look, because it's all conjecture. Right.
And we could want to look, but then those other parties, all the other interested parties that add to the cost have to be willing to come and participate in that conversation, and that's not serving in their best interest. So, you know, then we've got to look and see how do you compel, you know, how do you get the medical providers, how do you get the legal industry to come and sit at the table and show, you know, they talk about transparency. Nobody wants to show their books. So
yeah, I could tell you if I impaneled a roundtable discussion of insurance defense lawyers, right, and mm-hmm. any whether it's auto or whatever it may be, general liability, whatever it may be, as to what they believe the difference makers are in a multitude of states, I think you're going to get some fairly honest answers about what they think are driving the cost.
And they have been at
what the ideology
during those
14 is.
Hearings. Yeah, during those legislative hearings, they, you know, defense industry people were at the table having those conversations, talking about that. But it is a factor. I mean, but we've got to, I mean, do we really want to move the needle and reset the environment in Louisiana where we see premiums similar to Mississippi or Arkansas or Alabama or any other state? I mean, we're the highest in the country. So if we want to bring those down, we've got to truly, you know, acknowledge what the cost drivers are and then work on bringing those down. And again, there's, like you said, that, you know, there may be drivers why people litigate three times the national average in Louisiana, but I'd love to get all the people around.
Well, there's not going to look. I'm not a fool. I don't believe that there's one singular driver that's going to make up that difference. That's not what I'm saying. But I do believe that there are some anomalies out there that we've yet to identify because, again, the math doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? And the fact of the matter is that it could be that we have litigious people here for a whole host of reasons. It could be driven by poverty. It could be driven by unemployment. It could be driven by any number of situations, but I just don't think that we grow up in Louisiana looking for an insurance company to screw over. And, you know, there has to be, we've got the what, the outcomes, that, but I don't know that we spend as much time on the why, other than the traditional notions of you know, the plaintiff's practice and this, that, and everything else. You know, the average medical claim, if we began to survey and look at 1,000 cases of similar medical claims that in litigation, and how much was awarded or and what was given, it'd be interesting to see that.
You know, I'd like to see it at that level in a
multitude of states, because they used to call it reasonable and customary. It's different now. It actually varies somewhat significantly by region, you know,
these are anomalies. The average amount that an insurance company pays on an auto claim in Louisiana is less than the national average. It's $5,000 less. So it's not it's the number, it's that frequency that I mentioned earlier. It's twice. You know, if you have, you know, 10 claims at $100 each in one state, and you've got, you know, 50 claims at $50 each, well, guess what? That second state is going to be more expensive. And in Louisiana, that's what we have. It's a frequency. And we've got the data. We've talked about it. We've showed it in the committee hearings. You know, and again, what we're trying to do is drive down into what promotes that. How do we change it?
Yeah, interesting. I did not realize that on average, our claim cost was actually $5,000 per claim less.
Yes, I'll make sure and send you the data.
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you so much. So overall, how did we do in 2025 as it relates to premium base? Was it more decreases or more increases?
Yeah, and I'm glad you asked that, because I asked that this morning. I had to update a number. And at the end of the year, if you look at all the increases on auto and homeowners insurance and all of the increases and the decreases, the net benefit to the consumers of Louisiana is an overall $90 million, $90,840,000 less that consumers in Louisiana will pay because of the rate changes that were taken in 2025. So
$100 million more decreases than increases.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. So moving in the right direction.
Finish.
I know a lot of
let's
your
finish
listeners
on that positive know. Note.
That's right. And look, and more to come.
Absolutely. Keep up the great work. Tim Temple, Insurance Commissioner for the State of Louisiana. Always appreciate the conversation, and thank you so much for joining us. And
same
have a
here.
Wonderful holiday season.
I appreciate it as well. You have a Merry Christmas. Be safe.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Folks, this Sunday's the last home game of the season for the Saints. They take on the Jets, who are at 3-11. They come in to take on the 4-10 Saints at the Caesar Superdome. And joining us to talk about that game, Mike Haas, voice of the New Orleans Saints. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, my friend. Yeah, looking forward to it. And, you know, I was talking to a friend last night at the Pelicans game, which, by the way, holy cow, And he was like, you know, never before has a 4-10 fan base been so kind of not unhappy, right? I wouldn't say they're ecstatic. They're pretty okay, right? For 4-10, this is a pretty, you know, okay fan base. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a sense, and when you and I have talked about it, there's a value in winning right now. You know, even though you're not going anywhere as it relates to the playoffs, you're creating momentum, and that's really kind of building on excitement, I guess, going into next year. And Drew Brees said that the other day, you know, that's how he felt about what he was seeing as well.
Right. I know there's a segment of our listeners that I go, no, finished, you know, 4-12, whatever, 4-13, and get it better. It's not possible, right? There's no tanking in the NFL. If this team was going to tank, you had a fourth quarter drive, game winning drive in Tampa, and a fourth quarter game winning drive in Carolina. You had your opportunity. And the problem is, and not a problem, is that who's guaranteed a job on this team next year? Maybe the draft class, some free agents, some contract people, but other than that, nobody. So you're asking people who don't have a job next year to not play well enough to win. I'm sorry. That's ludicrous. And so you're not going to impact your draft position that much. And quite frankly, the difference being, and this changed really earlier this year, if we'd had this conversation last year, we were thinking, everybody tank for Arch, tank for Arch. Well, that's not a feasible thing, right? He's staying. And the quarterback class of 26 is not what the quarterback class of 26 was a year ago. So you're in a different situation. And so you got to go out. Guys are fighting for their jobs. You got to still build the foundation. You're not playing people, quite frankly, who you even intended probably to be on your roster, more or less playing. So you just got to keep doing good things. You know, they've not solved a lot of problems. This is only the seventh start for Tyler Shuck. It's a learning experience, and without running backs, there's a lot of things that this team needs to work on and questions that need to be answered. And that's what these final three games are about. They're not against, unfortunately, you don't have a Carolina and a Tampa who are literally playoff games for them. The Jets at Tennessee, at Atlanta. I don't know what you're going to get, quite frankly, but it's since this team got to 10 losses and you were out of the playoffs, it's not about the opponent anymore. It's about you. It's only about you.
The crazy thing about this year, you know, there were a couple of games we could have won, right? And had we won, we would be right in the midst of the playoffs.
I know. I try not to think about that part because you can do that kind of every year, right? But this year, and when the Saints lost to Carolina in Tampa in week eight, Tampa had already had, I think, their bye. So, I don't know, they're like – I don't know, but their record was like 5-3, 6-2, something. It was over. They were going to just roll, right? And now they are on life support, right?
Yeah.
And you're right, 7-7, you know, the NFC South is the NFC South. And yes, had the Saints, you know, I always say those first Arizona-San Francisco game, you know, they were in it. The Patriots game they were in, quite frankly, they were in the Chicago game. Turnovers early, they were in the Rams game, for gosh sakes. So it is frustrating, but you'll drive yourself nuts. And people say, well, we should have been playing Shuck all along. That's not how it's done, right? It's
right.
And I agree with the Saints. September 7th, they didn't say for Arizona, we're going to play Spencer because we don't feel Tyler's ready. That was not it. It's who gives us the best chance to beat Arizona. And they felt, and I agreed, I watched camp, that it was Spencer Rattler. And so the benefit of that was Tyler Shuck getting to watch. But at that juncture, at that point of the season, at that game, and, you know, the first part of the season, Spencer Rattler, this team felt, gave them the best chance of winning. And it was hard to disagree with that. And they were in some games. But couldn't, you know, the same problems that those teams had, this team has, penalties, can't get off to a good start. but they haven't had all of them, and defense is playing much better. So it's finish strong, right? Because if you, quite frankly, lay eggs against the Jets, Titans, and the Falcons, I don't want to. That's an offseason. I don't want to go into that offseason. You didn't get. You might get a pick or two better, but I don't want to lose to those three daggone teams.
Interesting text here, and I guess it could be true. With a win Sunday, Tyler Shuck will surpass Archie for the most wins as a Saints rookie quarterback with 4. Peyton won 3, and Eli won 1 as rookies. Interesting.
Yeah, he's already – where's my Tyler Shuck page? He's breaking – I mean, the fact, if you think about it, the fact that he is the first Saints rookie to win a game in Caesars Superdome, we're in our 50th year. You'd think somewhere along the way, so he's already got the 1,484, so he's got the single season record for rookie quarterbacks that beat Archie. He has 6 TD passes. That ties Archie's rookie record of 6. So the next one he will have alone. He's got 2 fourth quarter game-winning drives. That's the first time that's happened since Drew Brees in 2020. So already pretty good company that he's in. They've won 2 of their last 3, 3 of their last 5. Yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately the bar wasn't set real high as far as rookie quarterbacks were concerned, and Archie is the best, but he didn't play on great teams. And so he will, well, before it's over, he'll own all of the rookie quarterback records. But then next year, who cares? You move on. But you're right. It's, to me, the craziest stat of them all is that he had a 34-yard run for a touchdown in Tampa, right? That's the longest run for the Saints this year. That's the second longest run for the Saints if you include 24 and 25. It's also the second longest run if you include 23, 24, and 25. It was the longest run of 23. It's the longest run of 25 and the second longest run of 24 because Taysom Hill had a 75-yarder. If you take that out, it's the longest run in the last 3 years. Holy cow. That stat has to get better.
Yeah. So what if, you know, the Jets have been all over the map this year. What challenges do they present for the Saints?
Well, they have a special teams that is quite special. They're very similar to the Saints in a lot of ways. You know, obviously, both teams are brutal in the first half. They average, both teams average 8. Both teams average giving up 16. So both teams go to halftime down at least 8, right? The craziest stat of them all is that the turnover margin. The turnover margin for the Saints is -4, which is 21st in the league. Not good. The Jets are -17.
Wow.
-17. They have
They got to be last, huh? It's got to be close
seconds.
To last.
And pretty good hold on that position. Let's put it that way. And I'm knocking on wood all over because I have to. This is not a new stat. I'm sure it's out there. But the Jets have no interceptions. 0. They have 3 turnovers. They have 3 fumbles. They have 0 interceptions. Knocking on wood, because that's how you'd think at some point just a ball bouncing somewhere is going to bounce up to you, right? So that's their problem. But they run the ball pretty good. They have 128 yards rushing a game. That's 6th in the NFL. They average 4.7 yards rushed. That's 8th in the NFL. They have 12 explosives. That's 5th in the NFL. And they have 3 special teams touchdowns, 2 punt returns, and a kickoff return. 3! Do not kick off to those guys. Do not. Jacksonville kicked off 9 times last week. Kicked that out of bounds each time. That's what you got to do.
That's an interesting stat. That's really interesting, right?
Really, they have 4. They had 1 called back last week. I'm like, because you don't see that anymore, right? 9 kickoffs.
Right.
And they went, nope, you're not beating us. The only time Jacksonville had to kick to Isaiah Williams, he's got 2 punt returns, is because they were backed up in their end zone. So they went, well, I guess we got to punt it. So they punted to him, and he brought it back for a touchdown.
but there was a penalty. It's like, do not kick off or punt, if you can avoid it, to these guys. Give it to them at the 35 and say, there you go. Have at it.
And are they starting a rookie quarterback this game?
Brock. I mean, the kid from Missouri. They brought up Herndon Hooker, signed him to the roster just because they have been struggling so much. Brady Cook, they've got Tyrod Taylor. He's been in the league since Cam. Justin Fields, who their owner said, you know, basically, if he could just complete a pass, we'd look better. So he's been done. They're both hurt. So, yeah, it's Brady Cook, who got his first start last week in Jacksonville. Three picks. He had two picks the week before. But they run the ball, right? They got Brees Hall, Isaiah Davis. They can, you know, you take no one lightly. We're 4-10. You take no one lightly.
Right.
Because they can run the football.
Yeah. Well, it'll be an interesting game. Hopefully we're able to keep the momentum going, and we'll be listening on WWL Radio and look forward to it. Mike, as always, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet, Newell. Noon start. Happy holidays to you and Sean. So Merry Christmas to everybody. And, let's go ahead. Let's just keep winning, man. It's fun.
Absolutely. And to you and yours as well. Mike Haas, voice of the New Orleans Saints. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Folks, just a reminder, moms, dads, papas, grannies out there, Wednesday, join me for a very special show featuring Santa Claus. Tell the kids Santa will take their calls on Christmas Eve from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. so we get those Christmas wish lists ready. Santa will take time out from his busy schedule to talk to the kiddos. Mark your calendars for my special guest, Santa Claus, Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on a station you call home for the holidays and all year long, WWL. So write the number down and call in to talk to Santa, 504-260-1870. We have a lot of fun, and we also check in with the kids to see whether or not Mom and Dad have been naughty or nice, and what kind of year they've had, and we get some incredible stories. It's a lot of fun. And this Sunday, don't forget as well, December 21st at 7 p.m., you can join Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser and a number of special guests as they lead the crowd in timeless Christmas carols as the square glows with hundreds of candlelights. The square will open at 6:30, and caroling will start at 7 p.m. on Sunday, December 21st. And it looks like the weather is going to be really good as well. So it looks like everything is kind of lining up for that. And also, get ready for NFL football Saturday. Tomorrow, starting at 4 o'clock, join us for all the excitement. First up, 9-5 Eagles at the 4-6. Anders, followed by the 9-4 Packers at the 10-4 Bears, and catch an NFL doubleheader starting tomorrow at 4 p.m. on your home for the NFL, WWLAMFL.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app. And the Pels will be taking on the Indiana Pacers in the Smoothie King tomorrow. Pregame 5:30, tip-off 6 on the Big 870 as well. A lot going on. Actually, I stopped checking in on the score last night because they were so far behind. And then I get up this morning, and at the coffee shop, someone says they won. I'm like, what? There's no way. And they came back and they won. I said, well, lesson learned. Don't stop checking in. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back, excuse me, after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Stephen Hofer, DEA New Orleans special agent in charge. We'll talk about the fentanyl crisis and what it means here in this country. We will also visit, in the back half of the next hour, Renee Laparolari. She will be the incoming deputy mayor for external affairs. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.